Where do you see things heading in terms of new strategies? I mentioned the fact that you never would have dreamed this 4 years ago. What do you think we'll be doing like in 2 years?
Yeah, so probably the most exciting data that has come out recently, there's been three studies that have been presented at multiple meetings. One is the Clarity study from the UK that combined ibrutinib and venetoclax in the relapse setting. We have that Captivate study from MD Anderson that had those same two drugs combined in the frontline setting. And then a trial from Ohio State, a phase 1b2 study where we combined ibrutinib, venetoclax, and obinutuzumab in both the frontline and the relapse settings. And I think, you know, you would expect that ibrutinib and venetoclax given individually are great. Together, they should be very effective, and they really, really are. And I think that's something that a lot of people are very excited about, the possibility of that combination in either relapsed or moving toward frontline therapy and allowing the possibility for discontinuation of ibrutinib.
What do we know about recapture of patients after treatment's been discontinued?
Mm-hmm. So on those particular studies, not a lot. The first two that I mentioned, very few patients have discontinued drug. Our study from Ohio State that Dr. Carrie Rogers is leading, we have about a year of time off the therapy. And I think still only one patient has relapsed and was able to be retreated with ibrutinib. You know, we expect that you should be able to treat really with either ibrutinib or venetoclax afterward. What we know so far about resistance to venetoclax, there is a resistance mutation, amino acid 101. It's a GlyVal mutation. It is probably not as predominant as the BTK mutation, but it seems to appear in a large number of patients who relapse on venetoclax. But again, just like the mutations with ibrutinib, you don't see it de novo and you don't see it early on in treatment. So if you give the combination for a year or even probably 18 months or a little longer, you're pretty unlikely to develop those mutations. So I would expect that you should be able to retreat with either of those drugs.
You were talking before about resistance mechanisms to BTK inhibitors. What about resistance to venetoclax?
So there was an abstract at ASH last year, was published in Cancer Discovery at the same time with a group that had looked initially at just a few patients and kind of expanded after that. And there is a point mutation in BCL2 that seems to confer resistance to venetoclax. It tends to not be seen before a couple years of treatment with the drug. And it is not seen in as many patients as we see the BTK mutation. So I don't think we can say at this time that 75 or 80% of the patients who relapse on venetoclax do so by that mechanism, but at least we have a mechanism for some patients.
Can you talk about the role of PLC gamma 2 mutations in the development of resistance to BTK inhibitors?
Yeah, so PLC gamma 2 is the kinase in the B cell receptor pathway that's immediately downstream of BTK. And we've found that there are some patients who relapse specifically by developing a mutation in PLC gamma 2. So BTK is still inhibited by ibrutinib, but the cell kind of turns back on its signaling machinery. You know, after looking at lots and lots and lots of patients, it is actually pretty rare to have that PLC gamma 2 mutation or those mutations by themselves. Usually we now see them in addition to a BTK mutation. I can probably count on one hand the number of patients I've seen that only have a mutation in PLC gamma 2, but it certainly does appear to confer resistance.